Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
May I add my words of welcome to those that Wendell extended a few moments ago. We truly are glad when there are those who come and visit and worship with us, and it would be such a pleasure to have you be with us on a regular basis. Philip and his Andrew and his family are away this weekend, and they're enjoying being with his family, his mother and father, and happy that he has that opportunity. But I'm glad we can study together tonight, and I'd make mention of the fact that here in the auditorium class on Wednesday nights, we've been studying something of a survey of various books of the Bible, primarily in the New Testament. And this past Wednesday night, we were looking at primarily at the book of Galatians. And after the class, Brother Wayne Pagel, who's an excellent gospel preacher and teacher, came by, and we were talking about the book, and he called attention to a particular passage in that Galatian letter. It's found in the third chapter, or rather the first chapter, and it's the third chapter in the first verse, in which Paul makes a rather interesting statement, and I think one that can have some application to us as we're trying to serve the Lord. In that statement, Paul said, "O foolish Galatians, who did bewitch you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was openly set forth crucified?" On the surface, that seems like a rather strange statement. But I would remind you that the Galatian letter was a letter not written to an individual. And so it's somewhat different from other letters written by the Apostle Paul. It's not written to an individual. It's not written to a particular church, a particular congregation. But as he begins, it's written to the churches of Galatia, which was a rather large area. We really don't know exactly which churches Paul had in mind when he made that statement. More than likely, it was some of those congregations that he had established on his earlier missionary journeys. But actually, Galatia was a large area. But this, more than likely, was dealing with churches in the southern part of what was called Galatia. At the beginning, Galatia was a rather small area, a kingdom. But after the Romans had conquered Galatia and others, it spread out. And so it's a little difficult to know just exactly to which churches he had reference. However, when he said to the churches of Galatia, he was not talking about different denominations. He was talking simply about various churches of Christ. You are well aware of the fact that that term Church of Christ or Churches of Christ is not a title. I think there are those that sometimes use it in that fashion, but it's not a title. It's simply stating, this is the church that Jesus said, "I'm going to build. I'm the head of it. I died for it. This is my church." And so each of the congregations to whom Paul was writing in that area called Galatia were churches that belonged to Christ. And they all taught the same thing by virtue of the fact that Paul sent one letter to all of them. He taught all of these churches the same thing. And so it was not a matter of one church teaching one thing and another having a different doctrine, but he's writing a letter that perhaps was to be circulated among various congregations of the Lord's church. Now, the specific purpose of that letter that Paul wrote was to check apostasy. These were Christians, they were Gentiles, but they were about to go into apostasy, that is, leave the truth, leave the Lord's teaching, and Paul is trying to stop that. More than likely, as we said, he established these churches so he would have a particular interest and love in them, although he said he loved all the churches of the Lord. But he's trying to stop something that's happening there. There's a bleeding that has started, and he wants to stop that. In the fifth chapter of Galatians and the fourth verse, Paul said, "Ye are severed from Christ. Ye who would be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace." And what he's, of course, talking about there is the fact that someone had come in among them. Sometimes they're called Judaizing teachers. And that is because they held to the old Jewish law, the law of Moses. And they were coming in among these Gentile Christians, and they were saying, "You've got to accept a portion of the law of Moses. Specifically, they stress circumcision. And he was saying, you Gentile Christians are not really going to be saved unless you incorporate this into your lives. And there were those who believed them. And so quite a stir had broken out among these congregations and the people of God. And so Paul very pointedly and strongly makes this statement, if you do that, if you try to incorporate Moses' law into the gospel of Christ, you're cutting yourself off from Christ. And then he makes a statement that somehow it seems people, at least some people, wish was not in the Bible or just do not believe when he said, if you do that, you have fallen from grace. There are those who teach that once saved, always saved, that you cannot fall from grace. Paul here very pointedly says, if you do this, you have fallen from grace. But now we come to that first verse of the third chapter where Paul talks about the foolish Galatians. Oh, foolish Galatians. Now, these brethren were not ignorant people. They were not stupid people. They were not people who did not understand, but they were acting foolishly. They were acting foolishly in that they had allowed someone to come in among them. You can imagine us as a congregation, and somebody comes in here and nobody challenged them. No, the elders don't say anything. None of us do. And they just start teaching some false doctrine. And that's what had happened to these people. And so he's saying, you're foolish. You're foolish to allow these people to come in here and to lead you astray. But is there not some application to that in our own day? Human nature hasn't changed. The doctrine of Christ has not changed. The gospel has not changed. There's nothing new about the gospel of Christ. There's not going to be anything new. There are not going to be any new discoveries as to what our Lord taught. And so we need to be careful that there are those who do not lead us astray. And the only way we can really do that is by knowing the Word ourselves. And that's why Paul said, study to show yourself approved unto God. Sometime, and I mentioned Wednesday night, it's too valuable, your soul's too valuable, to simply pin to the words of any man, whether he calls himself a preacher or a teacher or whoever it might be. So the Lord said, you study to show yourself approved unto God. And when we know God's Word, then we're not easily led away from it. One time when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, he said, you do err. You make a mistake, and your mistake is because you don't know the Scriptures. So Paul is saying to these brethren, don't allow somebody to lead you away from the gospel, from the Lord. And we need to be so careful, brethren. And there are always going to be those who will come with fascinating and seemingly appealing new ideas and new doctrines. And if we're not careful, we too can be led astray. Then Paul uses another rather strange statement. He said, who bewitched you? You Galatians, who deceived you? Who is it that came in among you and deceived you with this doctrine? Well, that's not anything new. You'll find on other occasions, Paul talks about that same kind of thing. For instance, when he was writing 1 Timothy, the second chapter and the third verse, he talked about those who how the devil had beguiled Eve. The devil had deceived Eve. The devil had fooled Eve. And he's saying, you be careful. And so Paul later writes to the Corinthian church, and in 2 Corinthians 11:31, he said, I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve in his craftiness, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity and the purity that is toward Christ. And so Paul is simply saying, as he writes a letter to these people that he loved, these Christians in Galatia, he's saying, who did you allow to deceive you and lead you away from Christ? Now, having said that, he makes another rather interesting statement. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was openly set forth crucified. He's saying to the Galatians, Christ was set forth. You saw, you can see Jesus dying for you. And now you're letting somebody take you away from that. Well, Again, some had taught that they ought to go back to the law of Moses, and Paul is saying, if you do that, then you're also denying all of the benefits of the crucifixion of Christ. And Christ has been set forth crucified before you. You know about that. You've seen that. Well, the truth of the matter is, they probably had not actually seen it. There might have been. I guess there's that possibility that some of them might have been in Jerusalem. But basically, these were people who had not seen physically the Lord on the cross, crucified for their sins. And yet somehow Paul is saying, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was openly set forth crucified. Well, how was that possible if they had not seen it? Well, there are a number of ways that happened and does happen with us also. First of all, when Paul preached the gospel to them, he was preaching the death, the burial, the crucifixion, and the resurrection of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 1. He said, "Now I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye received, wherein also ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye hold fast the word that I preached unto you, except ye believe in vain." And here's what he said he preached to them. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He hath been risen on the third day, according to the Scriptures." So Paul said, I preach the gospel to you. What's the gospel? Basically, it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And so when he preached to them, he was preaching Christ crucified. And so every time they heard the gospel, brethren, every time we hear the gospel, Christ is openly set forth before us. And in that way, they had seen him. And so when Paul preached the gospel to these Galatian brethren, he was preaching Christ. And he also taught them the benefits of Christ, which they were now about to abandon. They had received them, but they never had received that under the law of Moses, and they never could. So don't let somebody deceive you, he said. Well, he was also set forth before their eyes every time they ate the Lord's Supper. Most of us this morning gathered around a table similar to this one, and we partook of the Lord's Supper. And in doing that, we took that bread, and our minds go back to Jesus' body on the cross, and the suffering that preceded that. And then there's the blood. Jesus is being set forth, crucified before our eyes as we partake of the Lord's Supper. And so every time the Galatians did that, they likewise. In 1 Corinthians 11:26 or 23 beginning, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus in the night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and he said, This is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye proclaim the Lord's death till he come." And so, brethren, every Sunday, every Lord's Day, and some of you may be partaking of it tonight at the end of this assembly. And it'll be a time when the Lord is set forth before your eyes, his crucifixion, his death. And so when Christians everywhere sit down or gather to eat the Lord's Supper, this instruction that Paul gave to the Corinthians also ought to come to our mind. And doubtless Paul had taught the Galatian brethren the same thing that he was teaching the Corinthian brethren. Jesus Christ openly set forth before your eyes. And he's saying, brethren, you've seen Christ. Don't go back to that old law. You'll be severed from Christ. You won't have the benefits of Christ. But then again, there was still a third way that Christ had been set before their eyes, crucified. Every time they witnessed a baptism, every time you and I witness a baptism, Jesus Christ is set forth before our eyes. Paul puts a picture of this, gives us a picture in the 6th chapter of Romans, beginning in verse 3. Or are ye ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if ye have become united with Christ in the likeness of His death, we shall also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, and that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be in bondage to sin, for he that hath died is justified from sin. Well, just as Jesus died on the cross, and He was put in that tomb, and then He came forth. Every time we see someone baptized, we see that, don't we? We see a person buried, not in the tomb like Jesus, but a water tomb. And then He comes forth. I remember hearing my father one time talk about a time when he was a young man, and he's holding a meeting somewhere, and had gone home to eat with the family after the worship, and the man of the house was not a Christian, did not care much about the church, and after they had eaten a meal, he and the farmer were walking out across around the farm, and the farmer brought up a question. He said, "Preacher," he said, "when I have a cow or a horse die," he said, "I bury them, and I leave them there." He said, "when you baptize somebody, why, and you bury them in water, why don't you leave them there?" Of course, the answer is because it's a resurrection also. And so every time we witness a baptism, we're witnessing our Lord, in a sense, as He died and as He was resurrected. And so Paul was exactly right when he said to these Galatian brethren, who came in here and taught you this false doctrine, and you're going to sever yourself from all of the benefits of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. And Christ has been set before your eyes. You have seen it every time. Well, every time they had heard the gospel, every time they had seen a baptism, every time they had partaken of the Lord's Supper, Christ set forth before their eyes. Now, there are some evil things, some bad things that happen when we allow others to bewitch us, as Paul uses that term, and turn us from Christ. There are some really things that ought to concern us. Paul said that ye should not obey the truth, is the way the King James makes that statement. And the point is, they had obeyed the truth at one time, but now they were in danger of leaving that, of turning back from their obedience to Christ. They had ceased to obey the gospel. Now that happens, doesn't it? Maybe in our lives we felt ourselves sometimes slipping back into the world if we're not careful. We obeyed the gospel. We're Christians. And yet sometimes there are those things that come along that pull us back into the world. And there's danger that happens. There's some bad results when that happens in our lives. And Paul is trying to warn these brethren. Well, they were leaving the truth, and they were leaving the gospel, and the gospel is the truth. As he says in John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth, thy word is truth. Well, again, these false teachers wanted them to go back to that old law, not serve according to the gospel of Christ, the truth, as Paul said. But obedience to the gospel not only includes the first principles of the gospel, believing in Jesus and repenting of our sins, confessing His name and being baptized, but it also includes staying faithful to Him. And that may be the biggest challenge that we face. Be thou faithful unto death. Isn't that what He said in Revelation 2:10? Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. Sometimes you see someone begin a race, and then they stumble along the way. It's sad to see someone fall while running a race. But it's not nearly so sad as seeing someone who begins the Christian race, or if it happens to be us who begin living the Christian life and then we stumble along the way. And Paul is concerned about these brethren. And so he says in Galatians 5:4, ye are severed from Christ. Ye who would be justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. Now that reminds us of another statement Paul made in another letter, a letter that he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 and 8. And he's saying that when Jesus comes back, he's going to render vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, or Lord Jesus. And then he says, if we don't stay faithful, if we don't obey him, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his sight. That's how terrible and serious it is if we turn back, if we allow someone to take us away. And so, as we look at our own lives and we look at the lives of our fellow Christians, our brothers and our sisters in Christ, there are times when we need to encourage them, just as Paul was doing to these brethren. And maybe it's not exactly in the same words, but basically you would say, you know, one time you were faithful to the Lord. What one time you were serving Him faithfully. What's happened to you? What's blinded your eyes? What's caused you to go away from the Lord? And you've seen Him and all the benefits of His death and His burial and His resurrection. So why are you turning back? Who bewitched you? Has Satan? Did Satan do it by his devices? Or was it the allurements of the world? Was it Satan who tempted you? Was it Satan by his devices? And you know, the Lord talks about the craftiness of the devil. Or was it some doctrine that someone taught you? Was it a creed that was... Did somebody come in with some new-sounding, appealing kind of doctrine, and it took you... What happened? Well, there are times when we need to ask each other that. Maybe not in those words. And there are times when we need to look at our own lives. God pleaded with Israel a long time ago. He's still pleading. But these are the words, Ezekiel 18:30. Return. Return ye. And turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions wherein ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Well, that's a plea that God still makes to us when we drift away from Him. And there are times maybe when He's saying to us, as Paul did, folks, who bewitched you? Who deceived you? You who knew about Christ, who were aware of what He did for you as He died, and His blood was shed, and His body was given. Why do you turn from that? You can't be saved. You're going to be cut off from Him, and you're going to be lost. You'll fall from His grace. Well, we don't have to do that. And so thankfully, we have a Lord that not only invites us to come to Him and become His children, but knowing that there would be times when we'd be tempted to stumble, He said, I want you to come back. I'm inviting you to come back. And if you'll just confess your sins, and you'll ask me to forgive you, I will forgive you. Are we thankful for a God of such love and mercy and grace that He would do that for us? You know, sometimes when someone does something to us, we say, I can't ever forgive them. I'll never forgive that person. Wouldn't it be terrible if God were that way? If when we stumbled, He said, you know, I forgave you once. Not ever going to do it again. What is it He said to Peter? Peter said, how oft shall I forgive my brother? 7 times? No, 7 times 7. 70 times 7. As many times as we're willing to repent of our sins and come back to Him, He said He'll forgive us. Sometimes people say, well, what I've done is just too bad. I don't think the Lord can ever forgive me. Oh, yes, He can. Though your sins be as scarlet, though they be, He will make them white as snow. Well, we're going to have troubles and weaknesses at times, but we can come back. The invitation of the Lord is always open to us. Tonight we sing a song as we normally do, and it's just a song to kind of encourage us and make it easy to maybe walk down an aisle. And you don't really have to walk down an aisle, One can obey the gospel, come back to the Lord at any time, day or night. This is a convenient time if you need to come to Him. And we invite you to accept the Lord's invitation while we stand and as we sing.